time. Okay. So we were discussing the Gemara here on Beis Amud Beis and Gimel Amud Aleph. I'm not going to read the whole Gemara again because we did that. But we're in the middle of discussing some important issues. So just to remind everybody, hopefully we get to Gimel Amud Aleph tonight, but on Beis Amud Beis, what we were reading was the Gemara's discussion about the difference between Exelos v'chavolos and Hodaos v'halvaos. The Gemara ends up saying that when the Mishnah says, Dine Mamanus Bishlosha, Exelos v'chavolos Bishlosha, that the intention is that there are two different categories. One is Hodaos v'halvaos, which Midrabanan, according to the first view in the Gemara, Rava, requires only Gimel Hedyotos, not Gimel Smuchim, as opposed to Exelos v'chavolos, which require Gimel Smuchim. And the Gemara basically explains that that difference is Rabbanon. Minat Torah, everybody agrees that you require three Smuchim even for Hodos v'Halbos. But the factor of Ni'ilas Delas, Miftei Lavin, the concern that we want to encourage or promote lending between Jews, and therefore that we have to ensure that it's, you know, collectible, basically. We want an efficient enough system that there'll be confidence that lenders will lend, knowing that, you know, they are going to be able to, receive their due payment. So because of Nilas Delos Bifnei Lavin, they downgraded the requirements of Dayanim, and therefore allowed three Hedyotos instead of three Smuchim. Okay, that's the Gemara that we discussed, and then we discussed, we already raised the question whether or not the three Hedyotos have been upgraded, ki'ilu they're now smuchim, and they're treated as smuchim, and that might have impact in things like, the Gemara thought, malpractice protection. In other words, just like smuchim are protected from any kind of malpractice, so too Hedyotos. And then the Gemara's conclusion is, no, that would be counterproductive because it's a very fragile, it's like an ecosystem. You know, you have to keep the balance. You know, the homeostasis, I guess, has to be just perfect. So you do want to encourage lenders by making sure that there'll be sufficient accessible judges, but you also don't want anybody to be a judge or just anybody to be a judge, because then you end up undercutting the goal, because, you know, people are not going to trust in a system where, mistakes are numerous. And redress of those mistakes is not possible. So in the end of the day, if you want to encourage lenders, you want to have effective judges and judges that are held to a certain standard, and therefore there's no lie. But in any case, Rashi and other Rishonim seem to be weighing the question, once Midrabanan, we said that Gimel Hedyotos work, are we upgrading them as if they have the status of Smuchim or the equivalent? Or are we basically downgrading this whole system and saying, you know what, Midraraisa, you need serious dayanim. Midrabanan, you can get away with much less. So this is the issue that we were discussing. Then at the end of last week's shiur, we started discussing the question that Rishonim asked, and that is, there seems to be a double stira between our Gemara and the Gemara in Gittin. The Gemara in Gittin, again, the first Mar Makom here, look on one, Abaya Ashkechen Rabbi Yosef Yosef Kamaasa Agiti, that Rabbi Yosef was in the mall in the middle of a transaction. He was involved in, you know, forcing someone to give a get. Amalei, so they said to him, how could you do this? Ha'anan, hedyotos anan. We are only hedyotos, not smuchim. And consequently, we don't have that power. Tanya, how you're talking about Komokom Shatamotse, Ogorio, Shalovakaha, Mahvisha, Dinam, Kadine Israel, Yetar Rashoili, Zakeklam, Shanema, Elamish Patima, Shatasim, Lifnehem, 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 Ovakahavim. Non Jewish courts should not be used at all. Dabracher, though, what's relevant to us, Lifnehem, below Lifneh Hedyotos, right? Dayanim Hedyotos should not be used either. So how could you be Maasa Beget when you're only Dayanim Hedyotos? So the Gemara answers, "Amalei anan shlichusayu kav dinan." We are the shlichim. We have to discuss this better of the dayanim smuchim. And then they add, "Midi dehaba hodos v'havos." Just like we find that hodos v'havos doesn't require smuchim. Where do we find that? In Sanhedrin, right in the beginning of the Masechta. So then the Gemara says, "Ihachig zelos v'havos nami." So the Gemara says, "Well, if you're doing shlichusayu, if we're, you know, if we're extending the, you know, the power of Dayanim Smuchim to their representatives, why only in Hodos Valvos, not in Gzelos V'Chavolos? The Gemara says, Ki Avdin Shlichosayu, B'milsed Shchicha, B'milsed Lo Shchicha, Lo Avdin Shlichosayu. We only apply Shlichosayu in ubiquitous, frequent kind of things. So basically, there are two stiras, just one for a second, between our Gemara and this Gemara. Our Gemara quotes the Makar of Elohim as the source of Dayanim Smuchim. There, the Gemara seems to say that it's Lefneim, but Lo Lefnei Hadyotos. That's question number one. Question number two is that the solution, Midrabanan, seems different. Our Gemara says, Nilas Deles, that we're worried about the, you know, promotion of loans. The Gemara in Gittin quotes the mechanism of Shlichusayu. So how do you explain this double stira between our Gemara and the Gemara in Gittin? And that's what we're about to address ourselves to in a minute, the different answers and their implication. Yeah?
Could you just explain how Abai and Rabbi Yosef were Hadyotos?
Meaning they're not Smuchim. They didn't have...
But they're Amoroyim.
Okay. So, I mean, and they didn't have Smicha.
Shas is full of Abai and Rabba. And he didn't have what, smicha?
Smicha, meaning the official ordination, ish mi pi ish mi pi ish mi pi ish ad Moshe Rabbeinu.
Why didn't he have it?
Because the that by then the uninterrupted chain was already disrupted. Right. It's not that he wasn't worthy, but they
it was after the period where smicha stopped.
Correct. Oh, so basically. That's what the Rishonim about. What do you mean Shlichusayu? There are no Smuchim in Eretz Yisrael right now in this period either. So the Bali tells us to say, Ana Shlichei de Kamai Ninu. We need to understand what that means. You know, normally we say Ein Shlichus Lachar Misa. So is this real Shlichus? We'll get to that. But is it Doraisa? Is it Drabanan? How does it work?
At what point did it terminate?
We don't exactly know, but we, you know, sometime in the... Presumably sometime in the period of the Tanakh. I mean, the Gemara has a famous story for Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba, and, you know, the sacrifice, that's the Gemara in Sanhedrin, on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, and, you know, how he sacrificed his life to keep Smicha going. But at some point, we're not exactly sure when, but, you know, at a certain point, Smicha's uninterrupted chain was broken. So it isn't that they weren't worthy, it's just that they just weren't, in fact, in that unbroken chain. Okay, so we have a double stira, and the question is, what is going on here? And the truth is, this is not the only Gemara. There's another Gemara, there's a third Gemara, which combines Shlichusayu and Elohim. Again, our Gemara speaks about Elohim and Nilas Deles. The Gemara in Gittin speaks about Shlichusayu and Lefneim and Lefnei Adyotos. The third Gemara is the longer Gemara in Bava Kamma, which speaks about Shlichusayu, but also speaks about Elohim. So that's a famous Gemara, too. Let me run through it very quickly. That's number 11. Talmud Babli Masachet Bava Kamma Pei Dalet Amud Beis Hahu Tura was a certain shore ox the Alas Yada the Yanuka. Okay, what exactly it did to the yad of this tinok we're not sure. Chewed it, you know, he chewed it off. He chewed it. It was a busha. It was a nezek. Not so clear exactly what it was, but whatever it was, it doesn't matter really. I mean, it mattered to the Yanuka, but you know, at this point, it's more an abstract issue. Also, the Kami Durava Amalu Zilu Shaimuhu Ka'avda. When you want to assess the damages here, so this is a kind of a nezek, obviously. So estimate as if he's an eved. That's, you know, this is all part of the Perakachovel, where, you know, you estimate nezek like an eved shenimkar bashuk, you know, etc. Okay. So the Gemara says, Amrulay, they said to him, Famaru Damar, aren't you the one who said that Ka Nisham Ka'eved? That whenever making an assessment as if someone is an Eved, ain't govenosa bebavel. It's not the kind of thing in which we collect in Babel. What does that mean? So basically what it means is that it's complicated enough of an issue or has a certain stature and statue of an issue that you need smuchim, dayanim smuchim, and therefore there's no gviya bebavel. And Babel, in that time, they didn't have smuchim. So the Gemara says, Amr lahu, Lo tzricha di tafas. We're not talking about collecting it. We're talking about what would happen if the yanuka were to grab the money from the owner of the shore. So it's not a question of collection. It's a question of taking it away from him and that burden of proof. Okay, that's an issue in its own right. Anyway, the Gemara says, Rabba le tameh, dama rabba, Niske shor b'shor, v'niske shor b'adam, govenoso b'bavel. Niske adam b'adam, niske adam b'shor, ein govenoso b'bavel. There are different types of nezek, and some are nigva b'bavel, and some are not. So the Gemara says, how come? What's the difference? Mai shna niske adam b'adam, v'niske adam b'shor, the law, why in this case Adam b'Adam we're Gove, and this case Adam b'Shor we're not Gove. So the Gemara says, Elohim b'inan, b'leka. Because you need smuchim, Elohim. That's why I mentioned this Gemara in Bava Kamma, like our Gemara, seems to invoke the pasuk of Elohim as the source for the requirement of smicha. But you'll see in a moment, this Gemara also quotes Shlichus Hayim. So the Gemara says, Niske shor b'Shor, b'Shor b'Adam, nami Elohim b'inan b'leka. You need smuchim there too. Ela Maishna Shor b'Shor b'Shor b'Adam. What's the difference? The Shlichusayu, right? Kav Dinan. Because the reason that we're able to be Gova b'Bavel is that the Dayane Bavel are considered Shlichusayu of Smuchim. Mididahava, that same phrase that appears in Gittin, Ahodos v'Havos. But Adam b'Adam, Adam b'Shor, Nami Shlichusayu v'Dinan. Mididahava Ahodos v'Havos. So why not say the same thing? Adam b'Adam, Adam b'Shor. The Gemara says, "Amri kikav dinan shlichusayu b'midi de kimlin gava, midi de lo kimlin begava, lo beinan shlichusayu." So the Gemara has several distinctions that it then cites for the limiting shlichusayu. One is kimle begava, is it an exact amount? Then the other one is the difference between mamon and knas. A third one is milsa de shchicha, like we had in Gittin, whether something is common enough. A fourth one is the combination of milsa de shchicha and isba chisaron kiss. It has to be both shchiach and chisaron kiss, as opposed to something like a knas, etc. So once again, the Gemara Bava Kamma, like Gittin, quotes shlichusayu, not nilas deles, but at least it quotes Elohim, and not lifnei v'lo lifnei diotos. So what is going on? Why this discrepancy between the different perspectives? So what we saw last time was that Rashi and Gittin, right, which you have here, again, I'll just look at it again for a second, Midi Dehabe, line number 10, says, Adine Mamanis Dehavos, Davinin Shlichosayu, Kiramrinim B'Sanhedrin. Rashi says, we do Shlichosayu, as we learned in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that base. If you look in our Gemara in Sanhedrin, does it say Shlichosayu anywhere? No. So, obviously, it's not that Rashi had a different girsa. Obviously, the way Rashi read the Gemaras, plural, is that you have to read them together. Namely, there are two different issues. One is, why did we make a takana to allow Dayanim Ediotos? And the answer to that question is, Ni'ilas Delas Bifnei Lavin, to promote lending. Now the other question is, how was it accomplished? What mechanism was used? How are they able to circumvent this requirement? We can understand why you may want to circumvent the requirement, right? But how you just can't do illegal actions, right? If the definition of dayan is dayan samoch, how do you work your way around that? The answer is there's a mechanism that they employed. It's called shlichusai. And that seems to be Tosus' view on Gimel and Aleph as well, and Tosus and Gittin, Polyantosis and Bava Kamma, that Shlichusayu and Nilas Deles are one and the same. One is the rationale or the motivation. The other is the description or the descriptive mechanism that is being employed. It's interesting that the Ran, the Chidushi Aran, considered this possibility and he rejected it. And the reason he rejected it is very connected to what we spoke about last week. So look for a moment at the beginning of the Chidush Haran, his questions, and then we'll get to his answer later on. On page 2, starting from line number 25, or 24 is the Dibur Maskil, and 25 is the first line. Everybody with me? The Ika Lemeidak Tuva. This is the Ran talking now. Ran says, I have some serious difficulties here. What are the difficulties? Minarminim Aperek HaMegaresh. He quotes the Gemara in Gittin. Let's skip now to line 28, because we don't need to read the same Gemara again, even though it's good Chazara. But so what's the problem with the Gemara in Gittin? The answer is Vahacha, everybody with me on 28? Vahacha Ika Tmahi Tuva. The answers are numerous questions here. That's not for us right now. Skip that. Go to line 29, continue. Va'od. Hasa mashma de tamid hodos vavos mishum de shlichusayu kavdina. There the Gemara seems to say that the rationale or the reasoning behind shlichusayu is, I'm sorry, behind this allowance of hedyotos is shlichusayu. Vahacha amrina and taima kadesh lo tin aldelus bifnei lavin. Here, the reasoning is lo tin aldelus bifnei lavin. That's a discrepancy. So Tosa, then look what the Ram says. The leka lemeimar, one should not say, you cannot say the trabayu tzricha, that both of these points, shrichosayu and milas deles, are both true. What do you mean by that? I.e., right? Dimishum delotin al deles of dinan shrichosayu. The reasoning is milas deles. That's why we're doing this. But how do we pull it off? The answer is shlichusayu. That's wrong. The vadai kihecha de bedrisha v'chakir. Listen to this. Lo tzricha the time of dinan shlichusayu. Afa bisha osin shalokid in Torah legamri. Afkan afa bisha dinu b'mumchim in Torah nasnu chacham le'adjotus b'shul takana ve'im tzarech l'tam shlichusayu. What's the Ram's argument? Something that we discussed extensively last week, which is the Gemara here in Sanhedrin, when it wants to explain, when it wants to provide a paradigm for dropping the requirement d'oraisa, right, brings us the example mishum nilas deles, brings the example of drisha v'chakira. Minat Torah, every dina mamonis requires a rigorous cross examination, right, or interrogation is a better way to say it. And midrabanan, they decided in dina mamonis to drop that particular requirement. Why? Mishum nilas deles, says the Ran. Are there any additional mechanisms, or all we need to know is the objective, the motivation? All we need to know is that there's something called nilas deles that allows us to, to drop the requirement of drisha v'chakira. Right? So if that's true, and the parallel is dropping the requirement of dayanim smuchim, so all we need is the motivation. We don't need a mechanism. Now, is that true? Not necessarily. According to Rashi, apparently, and Tosus, it's not true. But if you remember, last week we discussed, from two points of view, how we might distinguish between nilas deles of drisha v'chakira and of dayanim smuchim. One of the things we said was, it seems obvious that drisha v'chakira is easier to drop as a requirement because it seems like a rigorous requirement to begin with. So we say, you know what? We'll interrogate a little less. There's still Edim, presumably. Unless you say that the interrogation is a reflection of the minimum quality of the Sipur HaDvarim of the story that's being told. That's why I explained the argument between the Note of Yehuda and the Beis HaLevi about Drisha V'Chakira. But if you take the, let's say, more standard view, even I like Beis HaLevi better, but not personally, but I mean in his explanation here. But the I think the Note of Yehuda is the simplest shot in the Gemara. The Note of Yehuda says, Drisha V'Chakira is a din eder shetei chalazima. It's a very high standard. You want to scale back midrabanan and din mamonis, you can do it. Do you need an extra mechanism for that? No, because you're not changing the definition of edus. You're just putting the edim through less of a rigor in cross-examining them or interrogating them. So a little less. But when it comes to dayanim smuchim, it's very conceivable, we'll see in a moment whether it's true, but it makes a lot of sense to think that if you're not a dayan samuch, you're not a dayan. So in addition to having a justification, you also need a mechanism. How is he a dayan if he's not a dayan? You know, the Rambam has a terrific line, and there are other lines like it in the Rishonim. The Rambam in Perek Dalet, Hilchos Sanhedrin, it's very important also, says you can't make someone who doesn't have the qualifications for smicha, the real smicha, you can't make him a samuch. Even if you go through the process and you pronounce him a samuch, it's like, you know, taking a balmum, that's what the Rambam compares it to, it's his own mashal, it's like taking a balmum and being makdish it as a korban on the mizbeach. It's mumbo jumbo. Or you could say it as many times as you want, but a balmum cannot be a korban. So a somebody who doesn't have the knowledge, you know, or doesn't have the qualifications of being a dayan, in the end of the day, is not a dayan. Right? You can say, oh, but we gave him smicha. Right? I'm not talking about smicha bizmaneinu. That, well, that's one of the things we still need to discuss. Yeah.
It seems to me that there are two things involved here. We in response to Leon's question before, we're talking about qualifications.
Yeah.
That's one thing. We're talking about the formal smicha,
right.
So I'm not sure that how this works out.
No. We're not saying that he's a samuch. You can't be a samuch if you're not a samuch.
No. So
unless you're talking about the Rambam's Kiddush HaSmicha.
But this dayan is a hedge.
No. So what we're saying...
The fact is he may have extreme qualifications.
100%.
Lacking this...
Right. Okay, so what you're doing... I understand. So you're questioning whether or not a dayan samuch, the need for smicha, is really so fundamental or not.
When it's available, that's a difference.
Ah, we're going to get to that as well. That's the mabit. Maybe smicha is a ma'akev when it's available. In other words, you have to be a maximalist in dayanim. But maximalism is sometimes a function of the availability of options. So we'll discuss that. That's the mabit's big chiddush, which we'll get to. And your point is well taken as well. But what you're really saying is, just like drisha v'chakira is a high level... Right, but you can. It's not a definitional level, so too smuchim. Maybe that's the right conclusion. All I'm trying to explain is, yeah. I'm trying to explain Rashi and Tosfos against the Ran. The Ran is saying whatever is good for drisha v'chakira is good for smicha. And what I was saying and what we talked about last week is maybe there's a difference and maybe not. Now, for there to be a difference, we need to say drisha v'chakira is not definitional, and smicha. Right? Is. For there not to be a difference, we either need to say Drisha v'chakira is more than you thought, like the Beis Halevi, or that Smicha is less than you thought, and that's what you're suggesting, and then we'll see in a moment, particularly for some of the Balei Tosas and Ala Torah, that may be true, and the Mabit that you mentioned as well. So we'll get to that in a second. I'm just trying to explain for the moment Rashi Tosas against the Ran. I think what they would tell you is you need a mechanism in Dayanim Smuchim because it is something more significant. B, last week we spoke about the fact that Mishpat Echad Yelachem is applied differently to Drisha V'Chakira and to Smuchim. We also pointed out that even once you say Drisha V'Chakira doesn't need, is not necessary in Dine Mamanis, in the case of Drisha V'Chakira, it means all Dine Mamanis. Right? Whereas in Smuchim, we're distinguishing within Mamanis between Hodas V'Avos and Gzelos V'Chabalos. So there are numerous discrepancies between the application of Nilas Delas to Dayanim and the application of Nilas Delas to Eidim. I'm just pointing out three very big ones. Those three more than justify Rashi and Tosas' view that while Nilas Delas of Eidim require nothing more than a justification, in the case of Dayanim, you require justification and a structure or mechanism that will also allow it to work. Okay. But that's Rashi and Tosas. That's one explanation, and now we've defended them for the Ran. The Ran, who thinks they're the same, either upgrades, like the Beis Halevi, Drisha V'Chakira, and he's saying even definitional changes don't require a mechanism, or more likely, I think you may be correct, he's downgrading Smuchim. But we'll see whether or not the Ran really downgrades Smuchim or not. We haven't seen his explanation yet. We've only now seen his rejection of Rashi and Tosas' explanation. By the way, his second question, look on line 33. The Odkasha. The Hasam in Gittin, Mashma de Midrashad Lufneim Lalufne Hediotos, Binan Mumcha. That's the second discrepancy. There, the Limud is from Mishpatim. Right, but from the beginning of Mishpatim, with name of Lolfnei Diotas, Vim Kena Filaman De Leisle Eruv Parshios Ubo Mumchin Milifneim. Our Gemara says that, you know, whether or not Mumchin apply to Hodos V'Havos, right, depend on Eruv Parshios Kasuv Kan or not. But if the limud is Ela Mishpatim Asher Tasim Lifneim Lifneim V'Lolfnei Diotas, there's no Eruv Parshios, so everybody should agree. Another question. The second day in the Gemara says, Midaraisachad Kosher, Mashma Fidel Hedyot, Umidrashul of Name Lolofne Hedyotos, Ipsalulhu. Even if you don't say Elohim, you should say Lifnei Melos Nediota. So what's going on? So the Ran's answer is a very important answer, which we'll get to in a moment, but first I want to get to a couple of other answers. So far we've discussed Rashi and Gittin and Tosin Sanhedrin. Let's look at the next idea. The next idea is Rashi himself. Rashi here on Yud Gimel Amud Beis, which I think we have in the sheets, but we could just turn to the Gemara. Seems to think that Shlichus Sayhu and Milas Delas are two different dinim. But he also thinks that they refer to two different categories, that basically Nilas Delas is Hodos V'Halvos, and Shlichus Sayhu is Gzelos V'Chavalos. And when the Gemara says in Gittin and in Bava Kama, Shlichus Sayhu, Midi Dehabe Ahodos V'Halvos, what it means is, just like Hodos V'Halvos don't require Smuchim, albeit Midin Ni'ilas Deles, that's the hidden words in the Gemara, right? So too, certain cases of Gzelos V'Chavalos don't require Smuchim, but on a different basis, namely Shlichus Sayhu. This is the Rashi. If you look on Yud Gimel Amud Beis, Dine Knossos, the bottom Rashi, Dine Knossos, the Elohim Ksiv, the Mashma Dayonim Mumchin, the Hainu Smuchin, Ubishar Dine Maminis Lo Beinan Mumchin, Kiru Kimna Be Reish Pirkin. So basically, the Rashi is trying to explain that Knossos requires Smuchim, and other Dine Maminis do not require Mumchim. Why? So he says, according to Abbeis and Abbeis, Mishum Ni'ilas Delas. The Hechid Deleka Ni'ilas Delas, Kagon, Dalid Shomrim, Gzelos, Dainin and Bababel, Afagav Deleka Smuchim, Dishlichosayu, Kavdinon, Kinemifarish Machovel, Abel Beknasa, Lo of Dinon Shlichosayu, Mishum Delo Shlicha, Veles Bechisar and Kis. So Rashi, unlike Rashi in Gittin, Rashi in Sanhedrin basically says, he doesn't answer the question about Elohim and Lifnei and Velo Lifnei Adiotos, but as far as the two Drabanans are concerned, they relate to two different dinim. Nilas Delos is Hodos V'Halvos, and Gzelos V'Chavalos, right, is downgraded because of Shlichus Sayhu. So you wonder, according to Rashi, are these just two different explanations, or do they work differently? Maybe the idea is that Nilas Deles sanctions Dayane Hediotos. But it doesn't upgrade the Dayane Hediotos, you know, to the equivalent of Smuchin. But maybe Shlichus Sayhu, because it is connected, or Mitzuref at least, with the institution of Smicha, maybe it doesn't just allow us to ignore the requirement of Smuchim. Maybe it is a quasi, right, extension of Smicha. So, for example, would Rashi think that there would be a difference maybe in terms of things like Ta'u Lo Yishalmu, or the ability to be Kofa Bali Dinim? Might you say that Ni'ilas Deles doesn't allow for that, but Shlichus Sayhu does? That would be very intriguing. Now, the Yad Ramah also, like Rashi, attributes Shlichus Sayhu to Gzelos V'Chavalos and Nilas Delas to Hodos V'Halvos, but he thinks that basically they're two different takanos, or they're takanos made in two different periods in history, but that basically they extended the din of Hodos V'Halvos to include Gzelos V'Chavalos on the basis of Shlichus Sayhu. But from Rashi itself, it sounds to me like these are not only two different gzeros, or two different takanos, but that they work differently. One is an upgrade of Hediotos, the other is an allowance or a sanction of Hediotos. Okay, so that's the second view. The third view, at least partially, is Tosis here on Beis Omid Beis. Look at Tosis for a minute. What's that? Tosis says in the bottom Tosis, Liboi namu nami mumchen. Tosis says, Tema. Dimash mahacha dimimatina and hediot mitziv Elohim. Same question. For the Gemara here, it sounds like Elohim is the source of smuchim. There in Gittin, it's excluded, but on the basis of lo lefnei akum, lo lefnei adyotos. So Tosa says, v'yeshlomar, d'hasam mimatinan milifneim, mishum d'lifneim, koi Elohim, d'hacha. Klomar, lifnei adayanim, hamufurashim b'makam acher. So the first answer of Tosas is that there's no discrepancy at all, even on the Daraisa level. And that basically the word lifneim, as it connects to velo lifnei adyotos, means lifneihem, lifnei Elohim, right? Velo lifnei adyotos. So it's not a second limud, it's the implicit insertion of the requirement of Elohim in the pasuk of velo lifnei adyotos. It's a contrast. Yeah.
What do we learn from the Elohim who is nirtza, the Elohim of the Yavidim?
That's one of the Elohim. It says three times. We'll get to that in Gimel Mideis. It says v'nikra balabai. That's v'nikra balabai Elohim. It says there are three Elohims basically. The Gemara says maybe you need that to teach you three dayanim. But it's all the same limud. So that's the first answer of Tosas, and that is that there is no discrepancy. But the second answer is more intriguing. Miu begitin pirsh bekuntras mishum dekai ashim skenim haksum b'self parshas mishpatim. So it's not Elohim. She'olo imo lahar shein sanhedrin v'nir lefarish to begitin linyan mila dekfia airi dahani maisila da bay ashka krav yosef tavi yosef v'kama asa agitin. Amar lei vanan hadyota sanan. Aval Elohim lav amili di isui mairi elibidin bialma. Hadamashma mili di isui lifneim, ishim dashin el kaman, measher tasim elu klea dayanim, de shaykh bem sima. Basically, Tosa says there are two different issues. One is hechsher din. That's when you have a din Torah, and dayanim are playing the adjudicating role, meaning they are clarifying what the din is, and they're the authority to make halachic decisions. That's an issue of Elohim. But there's another function of Beis Din, and that's Beis Din's capacity in kfiya. Since they are Beis Din, so they can also be kofa, they can impose their will, they can coerce, right, the nidonim. So that halacha is derived from Lifneim below Lifnei Adyotos. So the Ksos HaChoshen really loves this Tosas. He picked up on it, quotes it all over the place, and thought that this was also the view of the Rambam. We'll see soon that the Rambam has some very interesting perspectives. The Rambam mostly seems to paskin, like Ramacha Breidravika, that in Hodos V'Halvos, one Dayan is enough. Yet, the Rambam, when he speaks about Hodos Valvos, also speaks in Hilchos Sanhedrin about Shlichu Sayu Ka'av Dinan. So all the Nosa Kalim are very bothered by this. They said, I don't understand. If the Rambam thinks that Min HaTorah, it's enough to have one Dayan,
you need
and they assume, what?
You need the Hashkab of Baladinan.
The Tosis is saying that if it weren't for the fact that the Isra of Lefneim, Lo Levidyotos, means that they can't force their will on the Baladinan. But what about the Rambam? So also, basically, the Rambam paskins like Rav Acha ben Ravika, that one is enough. One hedyot or one samuch? Ah, that's tricky. So the nesivos and the, or sameach, say it's a samuch. But most of the Nosa Kalim assumed that the Rambam meant one hedyot. So they say, how come the Rambam speaks about shlichosayu? Shlichosayu of who? In Hodos Valvos. There's no din of smuchim because he paskins like Rav Acha ben Ravika. So the Ksos says, no. The Rambam held like Tosas. There are two dinim. One is, can a dayan pronounce sentence? Can he be machriya in a din? Right? That's an issue of Elohim. And Rabbi Acha ben Ravika thinks you don't need Elohim to paskin in Hodos Vavos. Even one hedjo can do that. But the ability to be kofa bale dinim, that comes with Fnei Velo Lefno Hedyotos. Right? That applies even according to Rav Acha Breid Ravika, to the ability to impose your will. And therefore, For that, midrabanan, we sometimes need to invoke the principle of shlichus hayir. So the Ksos, based on this Tosus, and he extends it to other things too, thinks in general that this yisod of Tosus, that there are two dinim in Dayanim, one is psak, and the other is kfiya, and that you can sometimes split them, is a very important principle. Okay? That's the third view. Yeah?
Is there a balance in halacha here? I'll explain what I mean. Lo simul deles.
Yeah.
That principle was put into play as a favor to the lofe.
Right.
So we have to balance this. This is what halacha is trying to do. Now we have to make a balance. Because, you hear, we've permitted loans to be given to you. Now we're going to make it a little more beneficial for the malve.
Well, really, lo tinel delis bifnei lovin, in this case, itself balances because it's for the malve. In other words, when the Gemara said you don't need drisha v'chakira because of lo tinel delis, and you don't need dayanim smuchim, who, in the short term, who is that helping? The malve. So the question you're asking, you should ask is, we're helping the malve because we want to help the lova? The answer is yes, because anybody in business understands, or anybody who
understands.
That's what I meant about the ecosystem before. You know, instead of having, you're a union man, or you're a, what side of the labor dispute are you? So, there are always, in the world and in ideology, there are always extremists. You know, there's communism and socialism, and, you know, there can be extreme capitalism, right? But what really works better is a fair system, which is somewhat, you know, in balance. Because then there's trust, right, throughout the whole system. So this is what's so fascinating about Lotino Delis. Who are we really trying to protect in the long term? The love it. But how do we do that? By making sure that the Malva has confidence. Because if he doesn't have confidence, he doesn't give loans, that's not good for the Lova. But if you go overboard too much, then the real goal is to help the poor. Right? So that's the perfect ecosystem. That's why you'll find, if you look through Shas, you'll sometimes see that Lotin al Delas Bifnei Lovin is a direct aid to the Lova. But mostly, it's an aid to the Lova by promoting confidence for the Malva. And that's true in any society. I think that is any economic system that is effective, is one which is not extremist but is fair, and that I think is the halakha's
view. I don't understand according to what you said in the Rambam that it's the deraisa chad kosher.
Yeah, we'll get back to that. But
then the hedron is sufficient.
According to many,
part of the judicial duties is not only to be constant but to be kofir.
Well, maybe not. Maybe kfiya is an added point.
Why do you have to divide it? It's midiraisa, chad is kosher. It's kosher for what?
The Tosus thinks that there are two dinim. Tosus thinks that Elohim and lifneim, with all lifneim diotos, are two different parshios. That's what Tosus is saying. Tosus says, hechsher din, the ability to paskin, that's Elohim. And Rav Acha ben Ravika thinks that that's Erev Parshas. You don't need that in Hodos Valvos, so you can get away with one hedyot. But the parsha of Lifneim Velo Lifnei Adiotos, that's the parsha of Kfiya, the Bezdin. And that parsha applies even to Hodos Valvos. That doesn't depend on Erev Parshas. I mean, you're assuming it's all the same, because if you have a proper Dayan, he also can wield the power. That's what's fascinating. And many Rishonim agree with you. But Tosus and the Ksos's amplification of it is saying, no, there are two totally different ideas here. Okay, next. What about the Ramban?
One second. Yeah. So if there was not Lifneihem, they give them the power of Kfiya. So what good is their Psak if they came
back? Well, number one, we're not sure what Kfiya Tosus means. It doesn't, meaning the Ksos extends it, but let's say for Tosus for the moment, Tosus tried to explain the case of Isui Get. So what you might say is that Tosus' distinction is really more, maybe you're right that even according to Tosus, Kfiya on the Bali Dvarim means to force them to show up. Even in Bali Dvarim there are two types of Kfiya. If Bali Dinam come to you and you paskin, how about forcing the implementation of Psak? That seems very core and basic. But can you force Bali Dinim to show up in your court to begin with? That's less obvious. And what's even less obvious than that is, can Bezdin function as a Maisa Bezdin, not as a Psak, right, to impose forcefully on the Tzibor, like Isui Get? And that certainly Tosus thinks is a separate Parsha. But you might have said all of these are one and the same. But according to the first day of Tosus, it's Lifnehem, Lifneho Elohim, it's all one Parsha. Okay. Now the Ramban al Torah says something very interesting here too. Yeah.
So which role is more important?
I don't think they're more important. I think they're different.
And which requires three?
The Isui, the Kfiya requires three, in his reading of the Rambam anyway.
Right.
He's saying three Smuchin.
Right.
Both, three and Smuchin. Whereas for Avraham Breidra,
we don't require three. Right?
What?
But just the Paskin, we don't require three.
According to the Rambam.
So that would make Isui Dini more significant.
I know it's more significant, but it's certainly in this respect, it has higher demands. Right. Yeah, higher demands. Okay. Good. So, in order to explain the Ramban and the Ran's explanation of this discrepancy, we first need to look. You know what, before we do the Ramban, I'm going to do one other thing. Just hold off on the Ramban for one more second. I don't have it with me because I wasn't able to produce, they didn't have it in the Bar Ilan, but the Moshav Skenim is the one of the collections of the Balei Tosus al HaTorah. Like we all know it from, Das Skenim Balei Tosus. What's that?
The Pur Sassoon.
Yeah. And so there's also something called Hadar Skenim and Moshav Skenim, and then somebody put out in Eretz Yisrael, they put out the Balei Tosus al HaTorah, volumes and volumes and volumes of it. They found all sorts of Kisvei Yad, fascinating, of Balei Tosus, Perushim al HaTorah. Like, in that same mode as Das Kenim and Moshav and Hadar's Kenim, etc. Anyways, in the Moshav's Kenim, there's a piece of Balei Tosus al HaTorah which says as follows. Ask this question, Lifnei Velo Lifnei Diotos, what kind of din is that? So they end up saying that's only lechatchila, not a bidyavad. And they compare it to ger. Ger is not supposed to be done a Yisrael, even in Dina Mamanis, and he's not done anybody Dina Nefashos. It's a problem of srara for a ger. So normally we think that that's even makev. The Moshe of Skenim al HaTorah thinks that the requirement of Dayanim Smuchim, Lifneim, Lifnei Adiotos, and Geirim are only Lechatchila, not B'diavad. That's a very radical view. Okay? Now, another radical view is the one that you alluded to before, but that's not as radical as this, and that is that maybe Bizman Azeh, maybe when there are Smuchim, we're Makbid, and it's even Ma'akev to have Smuchim. Because they're out there, and you have that, you can aspire to that standard, and therefore that standard is Ma'akev. However, in an era where there aren't any smuchim, maybe we readjust our ambition, even d'oraisa. So that is the view of the Mabit, which I do think I have here. I'm sorry, somebody was asking something? Okay. Look at the last entry. Line number 25. It says Kiryat Sefer. Kiryat Sefer is the Mabit. Some people, is his main sefer is Kiryat Sefer. In recent years, it's become very much more popular, and I quote it a lot because I like it. I think it's an amazing sefer. Beis Elokim of the Mabit. So everything the Mabit writes is, amazing. And of course, he wrote Tshuvas. The Mabit was the father of the Marit, of course. And both of them were very, very involved in the Shemitah Lenachri, Nochri B'Shemitah debate against the Beis Yosef, Yosef Karo. The Mabit was one of the people who was a recipient of the Smicha. I mean, I spoke about the Chiddush HaSmicha in the 16th century in Tzfat. So the Mabit is one of the people who received that Smicha of the Mari Beirav, together with the Beis Yosef and others. So Mabit is like a major, major figure. Anyways, his Kiryat Sefer is a Sefer on the Rambam. Mostly he summarizes and shortens the Rambam, and every once in a while he comes up with a blockbuster, comment. Which, knowing his other works, we're not surprised that he has blockbuster comments, we're just a little surprised and a little disappointed that he's so, quiet about it in the Kiryat Sefer. Usually, he just summarizes the Rambam. Imagine if he had let himself, be the Mabit in Kiryat Sefer throughout. We'd be much richer. But anyways, I think he wrote it as like a summary of the Rambam. It was just a different goal. Anyways, he writes here, Dine Knossos Ein Daninosan Ela Begimel Mumkin. That's not controversial. You require three smuchim for Knossos. Now, I think this is very important that he wrote this. Not because what he's writing is Mechudash, but because he's about to say in a couple of seconds that Bizman Azeh, where there are no smuchim, right, Midaraisa, you can have Dayanim that are not smuchim. And yet he writes that Dine Knossos Ein Daninosan Ela Begimel Mumkin. So it sounds like he is telling us, when you put the two together, that his big chiddush of what I call the sliding scale, meaning that dayanim smuchim are ma'akev only when they're accessible, that's true in other dinei Torah, but it's not true in dinei knasos. Meaning, there are two dinim of smuchim. There's a din of smuchim, which is ma'akev as the highest aspiration level or first tier dayanim, and the idea that first tier is ma'akev, the Musar Haskel and that too, right? But there's another din, and that is sometimes you just need Dayanim Smuchim for certain dinim. And if there was going to be one area where that was going to be true, I would think it would be Dinei Knossos. Because, as we've already discussed, Knossos, according to many sources and many Mefarshim, is really generated by the Bezin itself. In the case of Knossos, it's not Gilui Milso. We're not just being, the Dayanim are not just being Mevarer. That's why Mode Beknas is Patur. Asher Yashiun Elohim Velo HaMarshia Esatzmo. What is our Marshia Asher Yashia Elohim? Meaning the Dayanim need to pronounce this Psak for it to be Chayim. That is certainly the view of some of the Rishonim. That's the famous view of the Ravid, for example. The Ravid said, there's the Rambam in Perik Beis, Uchos Geneva Halacha Yedeis, the Rambam talks about some Teiku cases. So the Rambam says, Misafek, if the person grabs the Knas money in a case where there's a Safek, whether he's Chayiv or not, Elo Motzi Miyada. So the Ravid says, what are you talking about? If there's a Safek, it's not a Safek. A Safek in Knasos is a Vadai no Knasos. Why? Because you need the Dayanim to be Mechayiv. And if they're Mistapek, then they're not Mechayiv. So it's not even a Safek anymore. Kolzman sheis Safek beknasos, vadayein knasos. Okay. So basically, I think what the Mabid is saying is, when it comes to knasos, where you require asher yashin, Elohim, if there's no Elohim, there's nothing. But in everything else, Elohim is just first-tier dayanim. And that's ma'akev if they're out there. But if they're not out there, they don't exist in this era, in this century, then that's a different story. So that just, I'll answer your question in a second. Look at line 28, where he says, the chain, afilo below smicha, everybody have that? In the middle of line 28? Nira de midoraisa, done in dine chutz laaretz. Wow. Afilo bedavar shenu matzu bedine aretz. De bizman she'en smicha, this is a minority view. Kulan shavin, v'kol holech achar hachachma. Remarkable, but big. Yeah.
Knossos in many ways automatic. If there's a, let's say a halacha of keifo.
Yeah.
Once you assess steal the keren, then the knas is. What do you need a mice of?
Because it is a knas. That's the whole point. And I'll just illustrate it.
Automatic knas. It doesn't.
It is even though it doesn't require a separate action. Even the ones that first of all yesh v'yesh dalad v'hei, there is a separate action. Lamed Shalevet, there is a separate action. But let's take your example, right? Kefel, because that's a great example.
Even Lamed Shalevet, I don't see why, but let's leave it
that way. Well, no, I mean, you damage the Evet and you pay whatever. But the point, let's take Kefel, right? So if you steal money, so on the Karen you're Chayiv, and Zachiv Lotze Sidei Shamayim, but the Kefel, if there are no Dayanim, Smuchim, there's no kefal. Or let me say it this way: if you come to the court and you say, not mimash mishinu boy, and you see they're coming, so you want to preempt them. Let's say you sincerely go to court. You say, I can't live with myself anymore. I 10 years ago, I stole. 2 minutes ago, I stole. Whatever it is, I stole money. $100. So you have to pay the kefel. But it's motive in a bez and samuch I'm talking about. But in a bez, it's a sher yarshin alahim v'lo amarshi es ha'atzmo. Right? So, but it's the same action. Right? The answer is it doesn't matter. That's a chi of knas.
So what we're really saying then is that it's not so much as what it matters. But we don't care about the quantity. We know what the kefel is because we've already decided.
Well, even that is tricky. Let me say something about that. So some years ago we learned Maruba, right, which is a wonderful limud. And the Gemara on the Gemara in Samachem and Aleph in Bava Kamma says Amar Rav. Okay, everybody's going to remember this. Yeah, the people there, right? That's all you want to say. You want to say it yourself, right? Amar Rav, Karen Kein Shaganav, Kefel Dalad Vehei Keshas Hamad Bedin. Okay, what does that mean? What it means is as follows: if let's say the value of the object that you stole changed from the time you stole it to the time you come to court. Whatever, the market value changed, the stock price went up or down. So the rule is the Karen is defined by the price when you stole it. But the Kefel and the Dalad Vehei is assessed according to the market price when you at the time of the Psak Din. That's one of the reasons. The Ravid says, yeah, for the same reason that Motiv Knas is Patur. So even that isn't so simple. Right?
Okay.
Why? Because of the role of Beis Din in generating the Knas. Even though everything you asked logically is 100% correct. What it shows is that there, even when there's a trigger action, either that's not enough, or that's a Tanai, but not a Mechayev. Right? Without the role of Beis Din, or according to those who think Beis Din created. Either way, you have to navigate. Everybody agrees Motiv Knas is Pater. You don't have to interpret it that way. But the Ravid certainly, Lashitaso, the Ravid says the exception to this is Palga Niska Knasa. Why? Because that is a different case. There's no mamon there. All there is Palga Niska Knasa. We have a tam, a short tam. He damages your property. Right? So what we're saying is, because it's a tam, you only pay half. And that's a knas. Right? And what? From a mammon point of view, he damaged your property. It caused $1,000 of damage. Right? So he pays $500 b'toras knas. So the Ravid says, there we don't say motiv knas pater. Understandably. Because even though we call it a knas, there is no keren without this knas. So it's a different kind of a knas. Yeah, but that's a different issue. I don't want to get too involved in it. Okay.
What you're saying is really not capable.
What?
It could be 3 times the value, it could be 1.5 times the value, because the Karen is Vishas.
No. The Kefel.
Kefel is Vishas Hamad Bedin.
Right.
So it's not going to be capable anymore.
If there's a change in price.
3 times the value.
Okay.
So it's not capable.
Well, I mean, it is. It's kefel. It's kefel of the keren as it's valued now. He stole a watch.
So he has to get back keren.
He has to pay back the value of the watch. Let's say he stole the watch and the watch is destroyed. So he pays back the value of the watch as it was when it was stolen for the keren, and he'll pay back the value of that same watch as it's valued now at the Shas Hamad Bedin for the Kefel, if there's a discrepancy.
It's not automatically 100% more.
Well, I mean, but it's not fair to call it, you know, a half or 3 times, because you're only doing that because you're taking arbitrarily the mammon value of the Karen for the other din.
But the Torah refers to...
Lemaisa, it ends up that way. But
the Torah calls it Kefel.
Right. The answer is if there's no change in price between one and the other, then it's kefal. And otherwise it's kefal in a different sense. Yeah.
The last words of the Ma'abid are very telling.
Yeah.
The Hakol
Holech Achar HaKachma. Very good.
What you have to seek out the Doli Torah.
Even now there are first tier Dayanim. Right? That's the point that you're making. That's Minat Torah, when there are Smuchim, you need Smuchim. and when there aren't, so we can drop. That's an amazing chiddush.
There's a greater inequality.
But even there, so it doesn't go formally ish mi pi ish mi Moshe Rabbeinu anymore. That's not a factor. But a kol holei chachar chachma, right? You still have to seek out. We'll see this, and even in terms of batei dinim, right? Ravasi, Ravami. When do you go to local batei dinim? When do you go to a more, you know, that's a balance because there are also economic issues. You know, in hierarchy, local hierarchies. It's very fascinating. Okay. What about the Ramban and the Ran? So they say the following. If you look at the Ramban ala Torah, we have at least 5 more minutes, depending on how we calculate. But we're getting a Chanukah. So if I have to, I'll get back to this next week. The Ramban, on page 2, talks about this din of lefnei v'lo lefnei adiotos, right? Meaning the need for smuchim based on lo lefnei adiotos. And what he does that's so fascinating is he quasi compares it to lefnei v'lo lefnei arkaus. Now we understand that the exclusion of arkaus, meaning non-Jewish dayanim, afilu kishidineim kedineinu, it sounds like a pretty fundamental distinction. Right? So the more you compare the problem of Hedyotos with Akum, the more it seems to be a pretty core definitional problem. So what the Ramban does is, he starts off, what did I say, quasi-compares, you know, he starts off comparing them, and then as he leads to his conclusion, he says, however, there's an important distinction with respect to one halacha, and that's the halacha of kiblu alai. If you want to accept upon yourself dayanim akum, you're not allowed to. That's a big chiddush too. But dayanim hedyotos, you could. But until you accept them, kiblu alai, they're treated like dayanim akum. That's why I say it's a quasi-strong comparison. Now what we'll see in a moment is that the chiddush Aran goes a giant step further, says that the problem of equating we do actually compare Dayanim Hedyotos to Dayanim Akum. Wow. Even in the case of Kiblu Alai. Even Kiblu Alai will not work neither for Akum nor for Hedyotos. Now, just to show you, I'm not making all that up. Look what he says here.
Isn't that the question of Perush in the Gemara?
Right.
Well,
I mean, the limud excludes both. It doesn't necessarily mean that it excludes them equally, right? Because we all understand that Akum is mufka from the system. He can't be a dayan. But Adiotos, you know, he could get qualified. He's not excluded from the system in the same way, right? So there are, you know, again, the Moshav's Canaan was saying, it's only lechatchila. That's the most radical, right? But we'll see in a moment, the Kiddush Aran says, yes, like Akum, not even Kiblu Alai. That's remarkable. Okay, so look at this very quickly. The Ramban says, V'dorshu lefnei v'lo lefnei knanim, mifnei shei ra'u lomar. First of all, the Ramban, just a little parshanut in the beginning, it's always like, I never get, I never reach a point of being smug about or taking for granted the Ramban. It's just a remarkable, the Ramban's Perush al Torah is just a remarkable work. His eye, you know, for patterns, you know, the things that he picks up on are just remarkable. So this is just a good example, parshanut example. V'darshu lefnei v'lo lefnei knanim, mipnei shehaya ra'ui. I'm not saying, I don't know if he's the first one to say it, but the way he says it, mipnei shehaya ra'ui lomar asher tasim lahem. Right? And it says lifnehem. Why? Now, so that, but what's, where the Ramban differs from everybody else is, he'll show you why it should say lahem, based on other parallels, and then he'll show you that the lifnehem instead of the lahem also is a pattern and is significant. So look what he does. Mipnei shiroi lamar shartasim lahem. Kamo sha'amar. Sham sam lo. Lo is like lifnei lahem. Right? Chokumishpat. So you can use a language of, you know, if you're talking about who you know, is subject to the din, sham sam lo, you use lo or lachem or lahem. Right? So therefore, when it says lifnehem, that like formalizes it more. Right? Shehem yu adayarim. So it's a statement about not who is, you know, subject to the law, but who can be a dayan. Now, how do you know that? Ki al shofet, al shofet yavo halashon hazeh. How do you know that? V'imdu shnei anash, v'imdu shnei anashim, Hashem lahim ariv, lifnei Hashem, lifnei hakohanim v'ashoftim. Ad, right? Imdu lifnei ha'eda l'mishpat, or lifnei kol yodei das v'din. Right? So you got five examples where lifnehem, you know, is used, you know, to signify the stature of the person who you're appearing in front of, not simply the fact that they are serving you or you are subject to their law. I just think it's should always be appreciative, great men. Anyways, v'darshu od lifnehem v'lo lifnei hedyotos. V'pnei shekasa b'mishpatim v'gishu adonav el ho Elohim ad ho Elohim yavod var shneihem kasa gom kam minasan b'fli lim hema dayanim amumchen asmuchen ad Moshe Rabbeinu. Also just beautiful language. Then he says, ulekach amar b'kan shamishpatim ha'eli yasimo so lifnei Elohim sheyazkir v'lo lifnei goyim v'lo lifnei mi she'eno shofet al pi ha'Torah. Now, what does he mean? V'hu hedyot lozeh. Does he mean he doesn't know the laws? In a second, you'll see that he doesn't mean that. He means, right, the who hedjot lazeh, not that the Torah doesn't want him to judge because he doesn't have stature. Not that he doesn't know the laws. The words mi she'eino shofet al pi haTorah doesn't mean he's not judging according to Torah law. It means who, according to Torah law, should not be judging. Okay, how do I know that? You'll see in a minute. The who hedjot asur lavo lefanav. He says there are two elements of the Isser. He's not supposed to act as a judge, and you're not supposed to treat him as a judge. Asur lo b'fanav, kishem, just as she'asur lo v'lifnei agayim. Ava b'shiyadua she'hedit hazeh yodei ashur asadin, v'yodala v'yodin kahogen. That's how I know that the line before doesn't mean that he's not going to judge according to Torah law, but that rather he's not a judge according to Torah law, because now we're saying he does know. So it's a huge difference. Aval hu asur lo sumo dayan, you're not allowed to make him a dayan. V'litzo kloshia kufis baldino lo delefanav, right, to come to him and to demand that he, you know, redress the wrongs. And then he adds v'hejet atzmo asur lo dun lahem. The baldavar is not allowed to treat him as a judge, and he's not allowed to act as a judge. Aval pishes kiru chachamim shtei kitos halalu ki achas. Now he thinks, you know, maybe he went too far. You know, lifnei below, lifnei akum, lifnei adiotos are the same. Yesh hafresh b'neim shimratzu shnei balei din lavo lifnei adiot shebiyisrael mutar ubede kibla malayu dino din avol lifnei goyim asurim lavo lefanav sheyodim behem bedinam liolam afilo aydinam kidinein. So the Ran, I'm going to stop here because I promised the extra time. But the Ran goes this giant step further than the Ramban, and then he has a whole theory to explain that there really are two dinim of smicha. One is a din in Hechsher Dayan, and the other is a din in Kisron Shel Mumchin. How the idea that you have to respect the group, the tier of Chachmei HaMesorah, and you can't essentially represent yourself as one of them if you're not. That's a very important idea, hashkafically and halakhically. So we'll get to the Ran next time, and then we'll speak on Rav Acher ben Ravika and the Rambam.